Today's Shiur Masechta Chulin Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis 12 lines from the bottom. Guf Amar Rav Shimon Bar Lakish Shachar Asakana. If somebody cut the windpipe, the trachea, Vakach Nikva Reya, and then afterwards the lung formed a hole, Kshera. To which the Gemara says Amar Rava. Rava comments in this Lamed Rav Shimon Bar Lakish. The only time Rav Shimon Bar Lakish said this halacha, he says, is only by the case bereya with the lung, because he explains ha'il v'chay reya tului b'kanam, since the lung is obviously connected to the windpipe, and if the windpipe is severed, then the lung no longer serves any useful function, and therefore the halacha is that that lung, which at that point becomes damaged, it doesn't make a difference. The Ran has a discussion here. If the halacha that we just mentioned is only relevant to the reya, to the lung, because we understand that the lungs are so connected to the windpipe, the trachea obviously is what causes the lungs to fill with air, etc., or is it with the other internal organs that are also connected, the heart and the liver? First, he wants to suggest that the same halacha will be by the heart and the liver as well. But then he goes back and he says that our Gemara is only speaking about the lungs. We're going to be having a very strong discussion in our Gemara, what's going to be the halacha with the B'nai Ma'ayim, with the intestines, but nowhere did the Gemara discuss the halacha of the heart and the liver, and therefore he says that they're certainly not connected. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava Loy Amar Rav Shimon Lakish Al Bereya. So Rava again comments that this halacha that we started with the Shlokish, that if the lung got punctured after you did the cutting of the kana, it's only on the reya. Hoyle, since the chay reya tului b'kana, the entire functioning of the reya of the lungs are connected to the windpipe. Alva b'nei ma'ayim, when we speak about the intestines, loy, then that's not what we're speaking about. It's also important that Rashi sets us in understanding this Gemara, that typically when a shechita is done, the first of the two simonim, which is normally cut, is the kana. It's the one that's closer to the skin. And therefore, since it's the one that's closer to the skin, that's the one that we find. Maskler of Zera says the Gemara, and since, as we said, and that's why we can understand this halacha, the veshit, the b'nei ma'ayim, which are the intestines. So at this point, the way to understand the Gemara is, since we're speaking here about the intestines are connected to the veshit, to the esophagus, to the food pipe. So they need to be in place, and they have to be fine until after the shechita of the veshit. Says the Gemara, Maskler Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira asked the following question. He says, if we think about every act of shechita, as soon as we cut the first simon, as we just finished saying, typically the kana, the animal is a trefa, because an animal with a cut kana is a trefa. So if that's the case, mali bereya, mali b'nei ma'ayim. In other words, the question is that why is the shechita kosher? The shechita is kosher because that's the way the Torah told us to do shechita. First cut one simen, even though recognizing that cutting one simen makes the animal a trefa, and if that's the case, but cut the second simen, and that's the way we're going to be able to eat the animal. So the Gemara's question, Rav Zeira's question is, if that's the way we understand the act of shechita, why are we only focused on the reya? What we should be speaking about is any organ. Once the kana has been cut, the animal's a trefa. We're, of course, as we're saying, going to be allowed to eat that animal, because of the halacha that we're learning in our shiurim of the way shechita is done. But if that's the case, it shouldn't make a difference if it's the rea or it's any other organ that got defective after the cutting of one siman. But says the Gemara, Hadabe Rav Zeira. At the end, Rav Zeira retracted, and he agreed with what Rav said, that it's different, the rea is different, because after the shechita of the kana, the way the halacha looks at the rea, it's just like something menachas bedekel. We said this in our previous year as well. It's just something that's put away in a for storage, and that can't be said about all the other organs. And the Gemara proves that. Rav Zeira retracted. It says, no, the bar Rav Zeira, nikva b'nei ma'ayim, if the intestines got punctured, bein simen l'simen, between the shechita of one simen and the other simen, mahu, what will be the halacha on the animal? Mi mitzdarf simen rishon l'sam m'sheni, l'tar m'dei nevela, will this animal not be considered a nevela? Because we, at the end of the day, cut both simonim properly, oiloi, or since they're not the same, because the first simon was cut properly, and the purpose of doing that cutting of the first simon was that the animal will not be an avela, and that we should be able to eat from the meat. The second simon was only here to take away the navela part, but the achila part, it's not mutter, because at that point, it was also to be eaten, because it's already a treifa, because the b'nei ma'ayim had a hole in them. So, even though, suggests the Mefarshim, the Rav Zeira did not explain that his question was strictly about Hilchas Nevela, and not regarding the halacha of eating, but it's obvious that that was his question. The fact that the question the Rav Zeira spoke is also similar to another question that Ilfa asked, Vavrinan, and that we explained, the Lav Hainu, the question the Rav Zeira just posed, isn't it the same? Lav Hainu the Bay Ilfa, that the same question that Ilfa posed. We're going to be spending time later in the Masechta speaking about a pregnant animal. And if one slaughters the mother, what is the status of the baby? So the halacha is, if the entire fetus was in the mother's womb when we shechted the mother, then the halacha is we're allowed to eat the al-pidin. We will speak about what the Gemara says about Ben Pekua, but the shechita is effective for the child as well. But if the child put out any limb before the shechita, so that limb that was extended from the body of the mother before the shechita, the halacha is that the shechita of the mother will not be affected, to her. It'll only help that it won't be in the vela, but won't be allowed to be eaten. And now Ilfa asked the following question. Haitza uber yodai, if the uber stuck out its hand, bein simen l'simen. One simen was cut, and before the second simen was cut, the uber stuck out a leg, a foot, mahu. And if we want to know, how does the halacha look at that? And the Gemara explains, mi amrinan, do we say simen rishon, mitzdarf simen rishon l'simen sheni l'taralam dein nevela? Oiloi, do we say the shechit of the first simen was here to prevent that this animal will not be considered a nevela, and it also will be here that we should be allowed to eat this animal. When we shechted the simen, it was only going to accomplish that it won't be a nevela, but that it only would be for that purpose, but it won't allow us to eat the meat. And the question is, if the purpose of the shechita of the two simonim is not the same, how does the halacha treat that situation? So the Nana Gemara makes its point. At Kanoi Baylon, the question that Rav Zeira asked when he spoke about the intestines that got defective between the shechita of the kana and the shechita of the veshet, Ela Taram De Nevela. His whole question was, how will we treat this animal, as a nevela or not? Av bachila, as far as the eating is concerned, asura. It's certainly asur. So we see from here that Rav Zeira clearly is of the opinion that only the reya is the exception, that if the kana was cut, and then the reya becomes defective. Since the reya, as we've been saying, is considered at that point kamancha b'dikula, like it's sitting in a separate basket, that's because its entire functionality is connected to the windpipe. But other treifas will certainly be in effect, and if between shechting the kana and shechting the veshit, something happens to any of those organs, the halacha is that the animal will certainly not be allowed to be eaten. And only the ray is the exception. So we see that that is ultimately even Rav Zeira's opinion. To which says the Gemara Amalei Rav Acha Barei Barav Lirvina Dima Lo'ilam Lo'i Hadabei. Maybe Rav Zeira never retracted. And he holds that anything that happens internally, in our example, speaking about the B'nai Ma'ayim, anything that happens internally will not disqualify this animal after the shechting of the kana. Loilam loy hadabei, Rav Zeira. And what Rav Zeira was saying, l'dvar of the Rava kama. Rav Zeira was asking according to Rava, lay loy svir lay. To him, the halacha was that certainly if the B'nai Ma'ayim become defective, the halacha is that the shechita will be still a valid shechita if that happened after the shechita of the kana. He was asking, what will Rava say? Did Rava say his halacha strictly by the reya, or did Rava also, would Rava also agree that this halacha applies to all organs? Amar of Achba Yaakov Shmamin of Rish Lakish, from what Rish Lakish says, that we began our shir today, that after we cut the kana, the reya is commanded munach b'dekula. We could invite Jewish guests to eat the internal organs. However, we may not invite the Kachavim to eat them. And the Gemara explains, my Tama. By Yisrael, the Allah is Shechita Talia Milsa. When is there no longer an Isser of Eivan Menachai? As soon as Shechita took place. And therefore, kivin dikas shechita ma'al yisrael, as soon as there was a proper shechita took place, ishtrulu, all the organs in the animal are mutter. And just like the reya is mutter, it's not considered anymore eva menachai, so too, as soon as the animal is slaughtered, even if it's still mefarchis, even if it's still jumping around, it's not eva menachai, because the Torah gave us the rule, shechita, is what permits us to eat something. However, I've the kachavim, on one hand, nechira sargalahu, what is relevant to make an animal allowed to be eaten, is that any form of killing the animal is acceptable. What's required is misa talia milsa, that the animal should no longer be alive. And therefore, if the animal is still mefarchis, so any organ in that animal is still considered an eva menachai, and a nochri, even though we would be allowed to eat it, a nochri would not be allowed to eat it. Amar Papa, to which Rapapa reacts, he finds this extremely difficult to understand. And Rapapa says, have you seen the kameder of Acha b'Yaakov, by the Emelei, and I wanted to say to him, how can we have such a situation? Mika midi, is it possible to end up with a situation till Yisrael Shari love the Kham Asr, that there will be something that a Yisrael will be allowed to eat and a Nachri is not allowed to eat? And the underlying consideration behind the statement is that Kla Yisrael are supposed to be on a higher level. We're supposed to be on a level that things that are not permissible for a Nachri are permissible. That are not permissible for Yisrael are permissible for a Nachri. It can't be that it should be for any other reason, says the Gemara, V'loy Amri Law, and I didn't say this to him, Damina Hatama Kama. I didn't say it because he gave a good reasoning. As we just explained, there's a difference what the Torah requires for a Jew to be able to eat meat versus what a Nochri can eat, when a Nochri can eat meat. Says the Gemara, but says Maratanya, the loiker of Achav Yaakov, this is not like what Rav Achav Yaakov told us, because the Brisa says, Haroitz Alechem Behema, if somebody wants to eat from meat, Koidim Shetetz Nafshe, before the animal is completely expired, Choyta Kezayis Bibosu Beis Hashchita, take from the place where the animal neck was slit. And the reason Rashi explains to take specifically from that piece of meat is because that piece of meat is completely exposed. There's no need to skin the animal. And therefore, that meat is very available. Another pshat that the Rishonim and Achronim point, that the Chazal teach us that Kara Karv Nefesh, Meshvus Nefesh. Eating the meat, which is the meat that causes the animal to be alive or not, is particularly healthy. And therefore, you want to have that meat, and you want to have that meat right away when it's slaughtered. So what you do is take that piece of meat right away, even though the animal is still mefarchis, choyte kezayis yofen beis hashchita, cut a nice piece of meat, and molcha, and salt it, molcha yofen yofen, salt it very well. So Tosfos says, that's if you want to cook the meat. But if you want to roast the meat, then melicha is not required. But then Tosfos suggests that those say that even if you want to roast it, and normally the halach is that when you're roasting meat, you don't have to salt it. But this meat, since this is the place where the blood, where the animal gets cut and there's such a rush of blood there, such meat, if you want to roast, even if you want to roast, melicha will be required. Umadicha yofa yofa, then you have to wash it well. Umamtam loy achetetz nafshoy, and then you wait until the animal completely expires, it starts, stop moving around, and v'ochloi. And then the halacha is, echad oiv the kacham v'ech yisrael matar, by both Jews and nachrim are allowed to eat it. Because we see that this halacha is, that the meat can be eaten, says the Gemara, is not only applicable to Jews, it's even applicable to non-Jews. Because what happened here is that you have to be medicha yafa yafa. The halach is because you have to wash off the meat, and you have to, and since there's such an abundance of blood, because that's where the animal's neck was cut, and there's so much blood there, you have to be very careful to wash off all blood. So we see here that you have to wait till the animal expires. And the Rishonim point out, because the Torah says, Leisoichlu al Adam, even though it's an Issur d'Rabbanan, we have to wait till the animal completely dies. But the main point that we're learning in our Gemara is that the halacha is that the meat is equal in status as far as being allowed to eat in for Nochrim and Yisrael. And says the Gemara, Mesayle, what we just learned, Mesayle le Rav Idi Bar Oven, Dom Rav Idi Bar Oven, Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashin, Haroitz Shiavri, if somebody wants to be healthy, Choyta Kezayis Bosser, Bebeis HaShchita Shebehema, cut out that piece of meat, Molcha Yofa Yofa, salt it well, Badicha Yofa Yofa, and rinse it well, Om Amton Lai Shetetz Anafshin, then we wait for the animal to expire, and this then applies to Echad Avdik Chavim, Vechad Yisrael Matarimba, at that point, both Yisrael and Nochrim will be allowed to eat it. The Gemara has taught us this concept that meek immediately Yisrael shari lev to kachavim usher. It seems that Nochrim cannot be treated stricter than Yisraelim. So Tosfos asks, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us, oiv kachavim sheshavas v'nochri kept Shabbos, his chayv mesa. The Gemara teaches us, Akam she'osik b'tayra, for Nochri learns Torah, chayv mitzvah. So why that why don't we apply the concept of me committedly stroll shari love chav maser, that we're shayim Shabbos and we learn Torah and they may not. So explains Tosfos, this rule is not applicable to mitzvahs. Of course, Klal Yisrael have mitzvahs that Nochrim don't have. And similarly, the Tosfos says, the Gemara we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin says, that Ben Nochrish Neragal Ritzichas Uber, Yisrael Ein Neragalov. That Yisrael is not Chayiv Misa for killing a fetus, and a Nochri is. So again, isn't that the same question? He says, so explains the Chassam Sofer, that the way to understand this Gemara is that Klal Yisrael is on a higher level of Kedusha. And therefore, if Klal Yisrael is on a higher level of Kedusha, there are expectations of what Kedusha comes with responsibility and comes with demands. So it can't be that Yisrael should be mutter and nachri asur. That's contradictory to the whole concept of our Kedusha's higher. Tosfos also asks, we know that Tosfos says that a Yifas Toyer, when we go out to war, a Yisrael under certain circumstances, conditions, is allowed to marry Yifas Toyer, and a Nochri may not. Again, how do we explain that with our Gemara? So Tosfos says that the halach of Yifas Toyer is connected to kibush. It's connected to the ability to conquer. And the Nochrim labnei kibush. So if that's the case, as Tosfos, we've learned in our Masechta that Ov de Kachavim are not b'nei zvicha. They're not in the parasha of shechting. So therefore, that's why they're going to be treated differently when it speaks of that, about that. So the Rishonim explain that even though, as we're learning, the parasha of Nochrim, the parasha of Shechita, only applies to Yisrael and not to Nochri, but the din of Eivim and Achai is equally relevant to Yisraelim and Nochrim, and therefore the Gemara says it's difficult to explain that something will not have a problem of Eivim and Achai by Yisrael, but will still have a problem of Eivim and Achai by the Nochri. Rabbi Chanan has a very fundamental discussion. Our Gemara is teaching us the halacha of Nochrim versus Yisrael, and his discussion is that how does the halacha look at this when the Gemara is teaching us the Nochrim and Yisrael are not, that a Nochri cannot be more chomer than Yisrael? Is it to be understood as a Siba or as a Simen? Do we say if something is usur for Yisrael, that must be, if something is usur for Nochri, it's also usur for Yisrael? Or do we say it's a Simen, that if something is mutter for Yisrael, then it's mutter for a Nochri as well? It's two different ways of looking at it. And our Gemara seems to be teaching us that it's a Simen, that because if it's mutter for Yisrael, it must be mutter for a Nochri as well. That seems to be an indication that it's not because if it's mutter for us, that's a reason it should be mutter for them. It's just a proof that if we could eat it, they certainly could eat it as well. The Mizrahi points out that this was actually the machloikis of Yosef in the Shvatim. What happened, our Gemara? What happened was that they killed an animal as the Shvatim was sitting there. And when the Shvatim was sitting there, the issue was that it was still mefarchis. But as we're learning in our Gemara, an animal that's still mefarchis, since it had shechita, the halacha is it may be eaten by Yisrael. A Nochri, we have to wait till the animal completely dies. And Yosef felt that at that point, the Shvatim was still considered b'nei noyach, and therefore they were not allowed to eat that meat until the animal completely died. The Shvatim, however, were of the opinion that they were already in the category of Klal Yisrael, If they were already in the category of Klal Yisrael, they didn't have to wait until the animal completely died. If the animal was mefarches, according to them, we were allowed to eat from that meat. We were already allowed to eat. They were allowed to eat from that meat. Says the Mishnah, Shechet Behem Lechai Ve'oif. If somebody shechs a Behem Lechai Ve'oif, V'layotz Memdam, and blood did not come out from them, then the Ksherim. So the Necholim, and the Allah is that this could be, and of course the question is, why is our Mishnah speaking about specifically Behem Lechai Ve'oif? So the Rashba explains that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though we know when you shecht a chayiv a'oif, you have to do kisui adam, in a case like this, where there's no blood that came out, so kisui adam will not be passable. The halacha is that the Mishnah is teaching us that you don't have to do kisui adam. You don't have to do kisui adam. If you can't do kisui adam, it doesn't disqualify the shechit of a chaya oif. The Rashba says that the chiddush is that you're allowed to eat the blood, even though no blood came out of the body. There's certainly blood absorbed in the organs of this animal, and the Mishnah is teaching us the dam hanivla beivorim, blood that's absorbed in the various organs of the body, shloi pirish, that it didn't leave from where it was, is not blood that we're not allowed to eat. Another pshat, the Rambam suggests. The Rambam says that one would perhaps say the fact that this animal had no blood come out when you shecht it is maybe an indication that this animal is sick and therefore should be considered like a treifa. Teaches us the Mishnah that you're still allowed to eat that meat, and it's not considered like it's a treifa. Another way of that we could learn that, again, that we should be concerned that the blood is going to come out ultimately with melicha, and since the blood will come out with melicha, that should be considered a proof. That should be a requirement to be able to eat the meat. And without melicha, we're not allowed to eat it. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah is teaching us, you're allowed to eat that meat and not be concerned. Says the Mishnah further, Necholim, you're allowed to eat that meat. And the halacha is, B'yadayim Mesa'avas, with hands that are tamei. Even though, as we learned throughout Shas many times, that Chazal made gzeiros on the Yadayim. And actually, there were three gzeiros. Shlomo HaMelech made a gzeira that as far as kachim are concerned, all hands are considered tamei. Then the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yudalid, teaches us that amongst the Shmoina the Yudches Dover, that Chazal made a rule that hands are considered tamei for truma, and until one makes sure that his hands are tar, he may not eat truma with those hands. And then the third phase is that, well, we know the one is not allowed to eat bread even without washing hands. But this, here there's no blood, so there's no liquid. And we know that the halacha is that food could only be kabel tuma. Food could only be tummy if he had blood. Here there's no blood, so therefore there's no liquid. So therefore, even though one's hands are tummy, there's no problem touching this food. There was no dumb that came out. And there's even another important point that the Rishonim make in helping us understand what the Mishnah just said. What they tell us is that we're going to only eat this meat for tzli, for roasting. Because as we said before, if we're going to cook this meat, the halacha is going to require that we first do hadacha. That whenever you kash a meat, you first have to rinse the meat. The moment you rinse the meat will become mukhsh l'kabel tumah, and therefore you can't touch it with your hands that are not tar. So therefore, says the Rishonim, our Mishnah is speaking about where you're going to roast the meat. Since you're going to roast the meat, there won't be a need to rinse the meat, and that's how the meat will remain dry. And since that's how the meat will remain dry, there's no problem that your hands, which are musavas, which are tamei, touch the meat. Rav Shimon says that even though the meat did not come in contact, says Rav Shimon, with liquid, hukshir b'shchita. They came mukshir through chibas hakodesh. The shchita itself, which makes the meat kosher to be eaten, that is equivalent of the meat getting wet and mukshir and being mukshir l'kabel tumah. As we speak about Hilchos Tumah, there are various levels of Tumah. The first level of Tumah is a mace, who's Davi Avoisa Tumah. Then we have a sheretz, or a nevela, or a person who came in contact with the mace. They're in the category of a avatoma. And the aloch of a avatoma is that's metama, anything, any food or drink, orchel mashkim odom kelim that touch it. Anything that touches the avatoma becomes a rishon tuma, and a rishon tuma can give tuma to oichlen and mashkin by touching them. Oichlen and mashkin that come in contact with a rishon tuma become a sheni tuma. A sheni tuma can give tuma to something. A sheni tuma could give tuma to something which is, to truma and kachim. That means the last level of tumah by chulin is a sheni l'tumah. Kachim and truma could be a shlishi l'tumah, and then truma, the final the degree of tumah is shlishi l'tumah, and by kachim they could go all the way to being a revi l'tumah. So says the Gemara, when we learn our Mishnah, tam d'layotz mandam. Why is there no issue? Because the Mishnah said, because no blood came out from this animal when you shechted them. Hayotzmem dam. If dam would have come out, ein nechalim b'yidayim nesavus. Then the Mishnah would, then you would not be allowed to eat the meat with that, with your hands that are not tar. Mai, ask the Gemara, yidayim shnius hein. Yidayim are considered shnius. And the Mishnah is presumably speaking about chulin meat. And as we just said in our introductory remarks, by chulin, you don't have a shlishi. Ask the Gemara. But that was based on an assumption. What we just said is based on an assumption that our Mishnah is speaking about chulin meat. Ask the Gemara, might be chulin, askinen. Why do we say that our Mishnah is speaking about chulin? Says the Gemara, midas tani chaya. And Mishnah spoke about Hei Mechai Vaif, and then we know that Chaya Chaya Bekotchem Yika. The Torah says that we cannot shecht, that we cannot bring a carbon only a behema and certain oifis. But a Chaya is never an animal that can be brought as a carbon. So obviously our Mishnah is not talking about Kotchem. Furthermore, Ibe Kotchem, we learned Loyotza Bedam Hukshera, we learned that if no blood came out during the Shechita, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, how can we say so? Hu atzmoi l'dam mutzarech. The whole purpose of shechting a carbon is to get the dam and do the critical zrikas adam. Vesu, furthermore, ik bekotchim yotz dam mimachshir, says the Gemara, was saying that if blood would come out, then we would understand that this animal's mukshal kabel tumah. But ask the Gemara, v'omer abchi bar abba, omer abbi yoichanon, menayin l'dam kotchim she'ena machshir, that the aloch is that actually dam of a carbon. That even though dam is a liquid that does normally have the ability to be machshir food l'kabel tumah, that's not by the dam of a carbon. Shnemar, the Torah, when it speaks about dam, says, loy toichlenu, al ar tishbechenu kamayim. That, we learn from here, dam shu nishbech kamayim. Dam that spilled out like water, the dam that spilled like water doesn't need zrikas adam, has the ability to be machshir. She'en nishpach mayim, but dam that's not spilled, that means the dam of a carbon, which we just said is used as zrikas adam, ain't a machshir. Vesu, another question had to, why to say our Mishnah is not talking about kachim. Ibe kachim, we learned la yotza mehem dam loy miskishri. The whole point of our Mishnah was that if no dam came out, then the meat, then the food won't become mukshal kabel tumah. But ask the Gemara, we've learned many times that there's a new concept of chibas hakodesh. Anything that's hegdish is considered on a different level, and it becomes mukshir. That food becomes mukshir even without liquid. All right, came along because we've learned that the halacha is machibus hakadosh machshartim. Answers the Gemara, Amram Nachman Aravua, Hocha Bechulin, Shalachim Bekesim Maisa Skinin. Says the Gemara, we know that the halacha is that the first and the second, and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, the halacha is we have to take off 10% of the fruit and eat it in Yerushalayim. If somebody doesn't want to have to take all that produce to Yerushalayim, he can redeem it on money. That money gets the kedushas of Maisa Sheni, and the produce that you have at home is now chulin. That money, or whatever you bought with that, is not pure chulin. It has the kedusha of Maisa Sheni, and one of the first halachas that would be applicable is that you can't eat a betumah. Whether the food that you bought with Maisa Sheni proceeds became tamei, or whether the person who wants to eat it is tamei, since this emanates from kedushas Maisa Sheni, neither of those situations you can't eat it. So therefore, it's technically treated like chulin, because you could eat it wherever you want. It's not kachim, but it's also not chulin. The like, and now explains the Gemara, this is not consistent with the opinion of Rameya. The Tanan, kol tom bias mayim bedivrei soifrim, anything that has to be put into the mikveh, we mentioned the Yud Ches Dover, that Chazal in Masechet Shabbos instituted tumma on many things that midaraisa are tor. The hands was the example, or the kalim that came in contact with liquid tamei. Somebody went to the mikveh, somebody had bar rosh v'ruba mayim shuvim, somebody put most of his body into mayim shuvim. There are many different things that are Yud Ches Dover, and they're all considered a sheni l'tuma. And the halacha is kol ton bias mayim adivrei soifrim, anything that is in the category that it's tamei, but tamas hakodesh, it makes kodesh into a shlishi, and paisel a truma. The difference in verbiage between tuma and pasel. Tamei means that it could make something that not only is a tamei, but it has the ability to transmit tuma further. Pasel means that it is tamei, but it can't go further. And paisel as a truma, it'll make the truma into a shlishi. And as we said earlier in this year, a shlishi is the last level of tuma by truma, can't go further. Bechulin of a meiser, and it's mutter by midrabanan with chulin and meiser sheni. Divir Rameya. So according to Rameya, meiser is considered like chulin, and therefore the halacha of our Mishnah again is in question. We've proven that the Mishnah is speaking about chulin, but we then have a question: why would it be relevant that the hands are tamei or tar, if it's chulin? But we said that the Mishnah is talking about meiser. But Rameya treats meiser sheni equal to truma. Chachamim oisrim af meiser sheni. So now our Mishnah is going to be understood according to the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim treat meiser sheni like truma. And therefore, if somebody has animal that he bought with Maisa Sheni proceeds, that animal is treated like Maisa Sheni. And therefore, if the Mukshal Kabbal Tumah and the hands that touched it are Tamei, you're dying the service, therefore that meat would become Tamei. But teaches us our Mishnah that if there was no blood that came out, so it never became Mukshal Kabbal Tumah. If it never became Mukshal Kabbal Tumah, then we don't have a problem that meat was touched by Yudayim Sovis. Ask the Gemara, Maskel Rav Simi Ba'ashi, Mayin, how do you know that by Maisa Sheni, a Sheni L'tumah can make a Shlish L'tumah? Says the Gemara, yes, the Rabbanan are stricter than Rameyer in reference to Maisa Sheni. But Dilma, At kan lo pligi rabbanon leid rameya el bachila meiser. That regarding meiser sheni that we explained, if the proceeds are tamei, if the person is tamei, but here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about negia the meiser. Maybe the touching meiser the kachila the chulin. It's in the same category of eating chulin. That's not where they disagree. And if that's going to be the case, then even if we'll say our Mishnah is talking about Meiser, we haven't come up with a solution or understanding of Meiser. Says the Gemara, the Negiah he. Because our Mishnah is only talking about Negiah, not talking about eating. And Rav Simi proves that. Miliktani, Nechalim b'yadayim Daim Savas. The Mishnah talks about eating it. Milay Skinen, that isn't the Mishnah speaking about the Kosafalei Chavrei, that somebody else whose hands were Tamei served the meat to me. So we see from here that if the meat was Mokshel Kabo Toma, then the Halacha would be that that meat became prohibited to be eaten, even though therefore I can't eat it. But the Mishnah is not talking about where somebody just touched it. Here we're speaking about Yudayim that are Rishon Tuma. Ask the Gemara, and the Gemara wants to know, how do we have a case that Yudayim are Rishon Tuma? Rav Shimon Lozihi, the Tanya and Yudayim Tchilis, that we learned, as we said many times in our Shiurim, that they made, that the hands are Tamei. But the Brisa says that even though they make Gezeiros on the hand, they don't become Rishonim, a Rishonim Tumah. Says the Gemara, Rav Shim ben Elozo, I'm Mishim Rameya, Yudayim Tchils L'chulin, they're considered Yudayim as far as Chulin, and Shnius L'truma. The Gemara will explain what this means in a moment. But we see that the hands are a Rishon L'tumah, and since the hands are a Rishon L'tumah, so by chulin, a rishon l'tuma does make a difference, and that's why the Mishnah is saying it depends if the meat got wet or not. Says the Gemara, tchilas l'chulin in. But the statement we just said is a most difficult statement, because the statement at face value seems to treat chulin stricter than truma. Tchilas l'chulin in ul truma loy. If anything, we should treat it stricter when we're speaking about truma than when we're speaking about chulin. Says the Mar Hakam, this was what I meant to say. Tchilas af l'chulin, shnius, but hands that are shnius the truma in will make a difference by truma, because the truma goes to a shlishi l'chulin loy, but it wouldn't make a difference by chulin because there is no shlishi by chulin. But ask the Gemara, umi ike yodayim tchilas, as we kept on saying, that when Chazal make gzera on the hands that they're musu'avis, unless we put them, and unless we wash them, the gzera of Chazal was always that it should be a sheni, not a rishon, says the Gemara in. There is a case where we could find that the yadayim are considered rishonim. The Tanan, hechnas yada l'bayis ha-menuga. If somebody just put his hands into a house that has a tziras in it, a neg in it, the halacha is yod of tchilus divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that would be an example that the hands become a rishon l'tuma. But chamayim, whereas is the opinion of the chachamim that the hands will be shnius, only shnius. And the Gemara explains this machlokes. The kulama biva mixloish mabia. When you go into a house that is tamei, you become tamei. But you only become tamei when the entire body enters the house. But now the question is, the halach is, we're speaking about the hand. And the hand is, and the question is, how does this be treated? How do we treat the hand? Marsov, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, yod kegufa shevinu rabbanon. And Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that, and just like you have to take your whole house, your whole body into the house to become a rishon l'tuma, the halacha is that the yadayim that go in are also a rishon l'tuma. And Marsov, in the opinion of the rabbanon, yadayim ki yadayim da alma shevinu rabbanon, just that the yadayim are the same as the body. And therefore, it's going to be like all, and since the entire body did not go into the house, you're not tummy. The hands are only going to be treated like shniya. Here the Gemara is teaching us a new halacha that Rabbi Kiva says that if you stick your hands in to somewhere, they become tummy. And the Shas Chuvis Laharis Nosson asked the following shaila: if somebody just stuck his hand into a bathroom, or just stuck his hands into a basic kisei or basic merchatz, what will be the status? Does it mean that the hands become tamei or not? And he teaches us that the Rambam says, if somebody, the halacha that we're learning now, if somebody is standing outside of a house that has a tzras, and he sticks his hands in, nit mu yada bilvad miyad, his hands will become tamei. V'nishtashav k'day chila shir nit mu taboysav, and then he goes on to, if you're wearing rings. The Rambam is teaching us that the hands become tamei immediately. And therefore, he wants to say, the same halacha will be that if somebody just puts his hands into a bathroom or beis hamerchatz, it'll be treated like that the hands should be considered tamei and need to be washed. So says the Gemara, but what we've been able to do now is find a case where the Yadayim are Rishon, and therefore our Mishnah will be understandable. And says the Gemara, so then just explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Kiva. And as the Rishonim point out, Rashi points out, that explaining that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Kiva is very acceptable, because throughout Shas, we say a Stam Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So look with Rabbi Kiva, the Omer, Yadayim Techilas Havya. Answers the Gemara, even Rabbi Kiva takes this very strong approach that if you put your hands into a bais menuga, they become a rishon. Dilma kikam Rabbi Kiva, hanin mila b'truma b'kachim de chamiri, aval l'chulin. For chulin, even Rabbi Kiva will agree that they're only considered shnias. For ask the Gemara, for lahevin nami shnias, the shemina Rabbi Kiva d'ama sheni yosu shlishi b'chulin. That means even if we're going to argue that Rabbi Kiva doesn't take this chumra so far, and Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that it's only a sheni, and we've been learning that when something is only a sheni for chulin, that can make further tuma, because the last stop of tuma we said by chulin is a sheni, and that's why we had a problem with our Mishnah. That our Mishnah, if it's speaking about a yadayim that a shnius, even if the meat got wet, it wouldn't make a halachic nafgamina. But says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Kiva, that isn't accurate. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, a sheni makes a shlishi even by chulin. And therefore, the Mishnah is still understandable, even if the Mishnah is speaking about chulin, and even if the Yadayim are shnis. And the Gemara proves it, the Tanan. The Mishnah Masech, the Soita, Daf, Chav Zayin on the base, tells us, Boy Biyoim, we know, is the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed to be the Nasi, after Rabbi Gamliel was removed. And the Gemara teaches us, in Masech, the Brachos, Daf, Chav Ches, that Rabbi Gamliel had a rule that anybody who's not Toicha Kabara, anybody who's not totally sincere, is not allowed into the Beis Medrash. The day Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, they opened up the Beis Medrash, and many new Talmidim entered, and there was so much new Torah learned that day. And that day, Rabbi Kiva gave the following drasha. The Pirah says, when it speaks about Tumas Sheretz, the kol kli cheretz ashipa mem al toichai, kol ashipa toichai yitma. That a kli cheretz, as we've learned, becomes tamei by a sheretz falling into it. It becomes tamei from the sheretz in the ear space of the kli cheretz. And we learn from there, tamei loy nema ele yitma, that it has the ability, letamei cherim. Limed al kikar sheni. We learn from here that if we have a loaf of bread, which is, for example, a sheni letoma, shoyis a shlishi bechulin. So according to Bekiva, a sheni makes a shlishi. So our Mishnah could be speaking about a sheni, and even if we'll say that our Mishnah is speaking about a sheni, the reason, if it's mukshla kabotoma, if the meat is mukshla kabotoma or not mukshla kabotoma, is very relevant. Answers the Gemara, Dima, when did Rabbi Kiva say that even by Chulin, Sheni makes a Shlishi? That's only by Tumah Deraisa. But we're speaking, as we started the Sugya, with a Tumah Derabanan. The Chazal made a Gezeira on the hands that they're Tumah. There, even Rabbi Kiva, who's strict, doesn't agree that by Chulin, a Sheni can make a Shlishi. And if that's the case, we're back to where we started. How do we understand the case of our Mishnah that if the meat was wet and it's chulin meat, as we proved, it would become tameh? But because it's not wet, that's why it's not tameh. Even if it was wet, if it's a shane, if the hands are a sheni, they wouldn't be able to make that meat tameh if we're talking about chulin meat.